Footy Speak Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport. It's She Speaks Sport time again with myself, Lauren Jacobs, and my incredible, dazzling, amazing guest today, Denisha Devnarayan, is joining me on this episode, and I cannot wait for us to get into everything that she's been doing, her passion for cricket, her love not only for the game, but for the players, how she approaches coaching, what she's been up to just this year and just for the past few months. It's been incredible. Denisha, before I introduce you solidly to the listeners who maybe are going, wow, who's Denisha? I'm so excited. First, we want to say it is just so cool to hang out with you this morning. And I want to say welcome to the show. And I hope that you've been having a really, really great day. Despite all these horrible load sheddings we're having here, I'm so filled with gratitude to connect with you today.
No, it's my honest and most humblest, if that's even a word, pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for the introduction. But yeah, look, I think it's really good to be on here speaking to you, sharing sort of a shared passion when it comes to sport. And yeah, I look forward to obviously chatting to you and getting more deeper into it. But yeah, I'm alive. I woke up today feeling very blessed. And I hope that you are too, and as well as the listeners.
Thank you for that. Yeah, we really hope that our listeners are feeling alive, feeling grateful to be here today. And I am probably convinced that maybe if you're not in that space today, Denisha and I are gonna draw you into that space so that when we finish that conversation, you'll feel more uplifted and inspired. Let me tell you about this amazing woman I have with me today. So she currently works for Cricket South Africa as the South African Under 19 Girls and Women's National Academy Head Coach. And she has been breaking through the stigmas attached to being a female coach, which still in a very male-dominated sport has always been a challenge. And we're going to touch on that today as well. And she has learned to overcome so many obstacles, so many challenges, breaking through stereotypes for the betterment of women in cricket and in sport in general. And she is the first woman in the country to land a high performance coaching job at Cricket South Africa. So let's just applaud her right here to say thank you for being that voice. Thank you for being that representation, landing that high performance coaching job at Cricket South Africa. Cricket has always been her passion, and we're going to talk about that as well. She was also part of the KwaZulu-Natal senior women's team for the last 15 years and managed to maintain the rare role of player coach for the senior team since 2012. Amazing. And also, Denisha was so involved in creating that culture where girls understood their roles, had a hunger for the game, the drive to be successful. And she was also privileged to represent the country for 9 years and even captain the country. And her highest honor is that she's a level 4 certified coach, the first and only female of this qualification in the country. She's also been awarded Coach of the Year for the KwaZulu-Natal Cricket Union in 2015 and 2019. Also KwaZulu-Natal Sports Personality in the Year. Yes, you go girl, in 2016 by KwaZulu-Natal Sports and Recreation, and nominated twice in the G-Sport Awards, which is incredible. She won the sports category in the prestigious Woman of Stature Awards, and in 2018 was again nominated for KwaZulu-Natal Sports Personality of the Year. And of course, she wanted that. Yeah, of course. And she's been appointed the Warriors assistant coach in 2023, which took place in Hong Kong with a Fairbreak Invitational tournament. And if you've been listening to She Speaks Sport, I just caught up with Sean Martin and we were touching on the Fairbreak Invitational. And so we're going to talk about Fairbreak today as well. It's incredible. And Denisha feels like her purpose in life is upliftment, development of people, changing mindsets. And Denisha, when you hear yourself kind of introduced, it's kind of like, wow, I am so grateful. I mean, it's incredible to go, this is what I have achieved, but I'm sure that there are so many things on your radar that you still want to do in the present and in the future.
Oh, no, definitely. I think, you know, as a person go through life, you don't actually just stop for a second and realize what you have done because you're so focused on what you want to do. So it was actually nice reading that. It's been quite an intense journey. It hasn't been an easy one, but definitely a fulfilling one. You know, and I think in life in general, you know, regardless of your career, where you're at, growth is so important. And I think listening to that there, I actually do feel a lot more grateful and blessed to know that, you know what, that's what you've done over the years, and it's something that, you know, you can actually be proud of. Because sometimes when it comes to ourselves, you know, we're so proud of other people, and sometimes we don't look at ourselves. So thank you for that. But yeah, it's I definitely have a lot more that I want to do. And I always say it's up to God, it's not up to me. And as when he sees it's fit that I obviously leave, it's I've my like I said, or like you mentioned in the introduction, is, you know, whoever comes in my path, you know, it's got to be a good experience. It's got to leave them in a space where they want to be better. That self-awareness, self-growth, self-discipline is so important for me. And it's important for everyone in life, and not everyone has the tools or techniques to get through that. A big part of my coaching philosophy is, you know, before I make better cricketers, I want to make better people. And that's what I want to do, whether it's on a sport field or not. At the end of the day, and if we're really honest with ourselves, you know, we're never going to stay in our career for all our lives. We're never going to be a cricketer all our lives. I'm never going to be a coach my whole life. So the impact that we have, and the gift that we have, I think we just got to use it to our best ability. And, you know, wherever that takes me in my career, the main thing that I want for myself is that, you know, any person that came within range of me is in a better place, and, you know, they're just striving to be a better version of themselves. I think I'll be really fulfilled in life then.
And I really feel like, listening to you and having chatted before the show, that's something that you bring into, like you said, it's something that you take to coaching, and it's about seeing the player as well and having an individual approach. So you've been head coach for such a long time, and also coaching other girls and having that individual approach and saying, you know what, I'm with you now, I'm coaching you now, and I want you to feel like you are the only player that I have, pouring everything into you and, helping you, coaching you. And like you said, not only about cricket, but also about your personality, your character. As people, we are deeply flawed, and we need people around us, like coaches, mentors, people in our lives in general, not just in sport, but in general, to help us see the things within ourselves that maybe are great and good, but then those that still need to be polished. And I think that that's so powerful from your side as a coach. You take that individual approach and say, I'm with you today. I'm coaching you today. I'm helping you today. I want you to thrive in all areas of life. And we hear incredible stories. I mean, we also see movies of the impact that coaches really do have. And has that been something that has been so special to you to say, I have this individual approach. I take this with my players and with players that I meet, new players, and bring that to the game and watch people thrive because they feel like I'm pouring something incredibly individualistic to them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you put it so perfectly actually into words for me. I studied after I matriculated, and I actually have 2 degrees. So I've got one in financial accounting and one in human resource management. Because that's, I think, what society says. You know, that's just, you know, you need to get a paycheck, and you need to upskill yourself in life so that you can have a good life. And I just sort of did coaching on the side. At that time, I didn't think it was going to be something that would be my career choice. I still did like apprentices at banks and stuff like that there. And it was cool. Like, I was very grateful for it, obviously. And then I, like I said, I got landed a KZN job. Look, I've been playing for them in a long time, and I actually did my level coachings to better my game, not so much to be a coach. So they said, okay, you qualified level 2 at the time, and you know what? We'll send you for a level 3 course. What do you say about taking the team and being a coach with the team? So I was still busy with my second degree. I was still playing international cricket at the time. So I said, okay, cool. That sounds like it wasn't even something I had to think about. Automatically inside of me, I felt like, wow, that's a nice 2 year. Yeah, I want to do it. And you know, after the first year or two, you know, there was like sort of interventions put into players. And I haven't had the easiest of lives growing up. Also going through, even if I can say 2 degrees, a person might think, this person might be well off to do, but cricket brought me those degrees. It wasn't something that came out of my family. So I'm so grateful for cricket, and that's why I want to give back so much to the sport. And the first things that I did was obviously chat with players one-on-ones, and my first 30 minutes, well, I had nothing to do about cricket. It had nothing to do about performance benchmarks. It has nothing to do with KPIs. It was just like, just tell me about you. Tell me about your family. Why do you love the sport? Why do you come here? You don't get paid, that sort of stuff. And there was something that spoke to me so much, and it was the gaps in players' lives that I felt was needed for any individual to thrive in any career, let alone sport. There was a lot of young girls that I was working with that were struggling with school, and you sort of send them to tutors to get better grades. But there's this one story of this girl that actually did play Proteas eventually, came from the townships, didn't have a driver's license, couldn't finish her studies, didn't have shoes. So, at that point, not even thinking about it, there was an extra pair of shoes. I said, "You have that." Got a driver's license, passed matric. Actually, she played for the Proteas, where she actually built a house for a granny that was a shack into a house. And like for me, that's my biggest achievement when it comes to coaching these players. Because yes, and some people might call me oblivious or silly to the fact that if you want to win World Cups, performance is the main thing, which in essence is true. But I can't expect performance out of my players if their minds are somewhere else, worried about things that affects them on a daily basis. So that's how my coaching philosophy actually developed, is that I want to take care of the person first, so that when they get to me, they can just focus on themselves, and they can ultimately better themselves as cricketers if that element is taken care of. And that's been something that I felt was so successful in the women's space. Look, I've also coached boys and men. And also in that space, sometimes you think as, boys and men's as this masculine figures that don't. But the amount of emotional intelligence that is needed there, it becomes quite prevalent in it. So a big thing for me was empathy. And, when players come into my system, it's about you first. It's about you, the person. I don't want to know anything about the cricketer. I mean, I've seen you play cricket. You're not going to tell me anything different, but tell me, what do you love? What makes you upset? What hurts you the most? And once we sort that out, the performance and the coaching become so much easier, let alone the fact that, this is someone that doesn't know you from a bar of soap, and they trust you now, and you are that person. So that relationship for me becomes so important, because I know at the end of the day, if I tell the player to change something technique wise or bowling wise, they'll be like, that's a person that cares. They're not going to tell me something that's going to hurt my cricket. And that's something so important for me. And I think you mentioned it earlier in your statement, was it the way I am as a person has to be the way I coach, because then I'm living two different lives, and I'm going to, clash with myself a lot. A lot of people say, a top-end coach, high-performance coach, you want discipline, you want structure, all of that. And I agree, you need professionalism. I agree, you do need that. But you also need empathy. You also need compassion, which I think is lacking sometimes when we're working with athletes. They don't want to feel like, they shouldn't feel like a product. They shouldn't feel like you just want an outcome out of me. They should feel like they're valued, they're appreciated, and they're taken care of. And you don't even have to talk about performance, because I tell you what, the player is going to perform for you. The player is going to do what they'll exceed your expectations and their expectations, because they know, look, at the person that's there in the dugout is someone that has my back and that cares about me. And with that, you've got to have honest conversations as well. You talk about sport, it's a short-lived career. It's very performance-driven. And this is sometimes where it becomes a difficult part, because you want to care for the player. And sometimes caring for the player is also being honest with them.
Denisha, I just love every single thing that you have been sharing, because not only does it impact on, when you talk about sport, but oftentimes in life, these are the truths that we need to hear, even as individuals who maybe love watching sport or love the stories or love the games that we watch, the matches that we see. You know, this is the truth of life, that we need people who care about us and empathy. You mentioned the word empathy, and it's one of the heart words that I just incredibly adore, because it is something that we should have in this life and in this world that we see such a little of sometimes. And again, when you're talking about empathy as well as with athletes, we hear so many stories of athletes here in South Africa and overseas who come out after their career is finished. They feel like they now have the space to share their truths, and they talk about the depression they experienced, or, you know, maybe there was a time where they were heavily drinking and had to go into rehab, and we just saw them missing for a little bit on the field, but actually there was something deeper going on. And, you know, dealing with life, things that happen in life, you know, death of loved ones or losses. And if you have people that really have that empathy for you, and especially that support staff and your coach, you can really, I believe, experience more of that empathy and that compassion for your life, and you can come out better on the other side. Even though you're only telling your story much years later, it's something that I believe that we should have. And I just love, love, love your approach, and also just your heart towards people and the people that you coach. And with that, we're going to take a really, really quick break. Don't go anywhere though, because Denisha and I are still together, and we're still going to be chatting after this. Now, Denisha, you were also talking about, you know, having that empathy, understanding players, having an individual approach. Now, when we talk about Fairbreak, which is incredible, your involvement there, and the fact that you had all these different players together, and being the Warriors assistant coach in Hong Kong and going on to win the competition of Fairbreak this year, right? You know, it's quite incredible, because we witness so many different players from around the world coming together that have different cultures, maybe speak different languages, have never actually played together. How was that for you? How was that experience? You know, sometimes having, you know, multiple nationalities together and having to build connections towards understanding each other. And again, when we talk about cricket and we talk about women's cricket as well, I think that people don't realize this, especially if they haven't really been exposed to it, that girls and women have to overcome major obstacles in general. But then if you come from certain countries, developing nations, where girls still are not allowed to do sport or not allowed to do X, Y, and Z, you're not only overcoming, you know, the obstacles anyway, but cultural obstacles, stigmas, and sometimes their families aren't even happy about them playing. So how did you understand this whole approach when you were part of Fairbreak, and obviously other players that you've been connected with throughout the years?
Yeah, look, it was incredible experience at the Fairbreak. But just to touch on the different tiers of stigmas or challenges that you have to overcome. And it's sort of like in a player's growth, I suppose, when you start playing cricket, for any female actually, the first one and the main one is obviously it's been a male-dominated sport for so long. And look, it's gotten a lot better. I mean, if you see the participation numbers in girls playing cricket is a lot better when I started playing, so that's fantastic. But yeah, you get different stigmas from each country as it goes along. And I was fortunate enough to have a few Australians, a few West Indies. I had one South African. There was a girl from Argentina in my team. There was a girl from Papua New Guinea on my team. We have a few Hong Kong players as well. So, it was so interesting to hear, obviously, when they go back home, what's their struggles. The main thing for me is that, everyone's got this desire and need to play this beautiful game, and if it wasn't for the sport, some of them might not even have been on a plane, and that's so incredible of what the sport can do. And I suppose it's different. I mean, if you look at some South Africans now, I mean, coming back after the Fairbreak is their challenge to break through is, how do I get invited to a tournament like that? And that's obviously a whole different topic, and so we obviously got together as a group, and you got your elite international players that's there who's obviously very character dominant, and it's very easy for other players to just, sort of get under the carpet and just observe. And that's just something that I obviously spoke with the head coach about, is that, if we want to get anywhere close to this competition, because last year I think they only won one game, they finished last at the Fairbreak. Yeah. And I said, you know what, if we want to get this going anywhere, I think it's so important that everyone's got to feel valued here. And it's very important what we do. So we don't want the players to make other players valued. We just from how we speak, what we do at trainings, we treat everyone the same with the same equality. And I thought that was really good. And speaking to the associate players, so your players from your less developed countries, that was a big thing for them. That was like, wow, and it's just a small thing because it had nothing to do with my coaching degree. It had absolutely nothing to do with how well I coach. It's just about the dynamics that when you're working with players from different cultures, different countries, is that everyone wants to feel valued. And yeah, I mean, I think the whole tournament we lost one game, which was in the round robins, where it's a game we didn't need to win, and we went on to win the competition. And it's so different, the way from how people dress, the way they eat, what they would eat. It's an expected differences that you would have. People come from different cultures, who do they pray to? And but I just found it so fascinating, and it's something that I sort of knew, but I think was buried for a long time because I was so like single-minded into women's cricket here in South Africa. Is that th this is the power of sport. This is the power of how the only thing that was the common was cricket. And I thought, how beautiful is that? You got 11 players on the park, three on the bench out here, and they're all playing for each other. I mean, if you watch that team play, they were playing like they've been playing together for years, and for me, that's like so incredible. But I think at the end of the day, there's always going to be challenges to break for every individual. Regardless of where you are, whether you're playing club cricket or Protea cricket, everyone wants to succeed. And the main thing for me when it comes to stuff like that, there is the discipline. Everyone wants to be successful in life. Everyone wants to, be the story that inspires people, but no one wants to talk about the discipline that goes with it, the hard work. Are you willing to do what other people aren't? And once you start asking yourself those type of questions and executing that, I can't promise you'll be a top-end cricketer, but I promise you'll come out a better person and a stronger person, which will actually lead you to better things. So yeah, it was a fantastic tournament. I'd obviously love to be part of it again. That's obviously pending my duties here in South Africa. But yeah, I just thought it was incredible how the international stars helped associate players with small things. They made it feel valuable. We went out for two team dinners, and what I enjoyed about that is that it was two different team settings. So you didn't sit next to the same person you did, and that wasn't planned. That's just the team dynamics that you had in that environment. But I think what Fairbreak does for women's cricket, and more especially the associate players, for that inclusivity, I thought that's a tournament I want to be part of, and it's just because you're giving girls an opportunity, something that they'll never experience in their life. The sad fact is that some countries might not get international status or ODI status and T20 status, but there was something special in you that brought you here. And what I love about the tournament is that you can go back. Obviously I've been back home now, and there's a few girls that actually text me about, how do I get better at this year? Can you help me with this? Can you draw me a program? And I'm like,
That's so
I
cool.
wouldn't have had that opportunity if it wasn't for Fairbreak. So I think, the effect at the tournament and after the tournament, I mean, such a lasting effect that happens. And it's just a really good tournament to be about. Everything's a feel good there. And I was actually a little bit apprehensive when the girls like lost their game, as to say how they would deal with that. But you know what? I think at that time they obviously knew they had qualified, and it was just such a good bunch of girls to be around. Hong Kong was beautiful. And I just really enjoyed the time there.
This sounds amazing. And you know what I loved as well is that we could actually watch the tournament here in South Africa. So SuperSport did us a big favor there and was like, oh, we're gonna be airing Fairbreak this year. And it was like, yes, thank you very much, because we actually want to watch it on TV and not just, you know, on YouTube, even though the times were crazy sometimes if you wanted to watch the live games. But it was incredible to watch, and Fairbreak is just an incredible movement, and it's an incredible reality for girls to take part in. And I'm excited about where it is going to go, and just getting your inside, you know, look at it is just phenomenal as well. And Denisha, I can't believe we're actually coming to the point where we're actually, you know, have to go. And I'm like, no, I want to ask you so much more things, but I'm going to ask you a final question, because this obviously relates to cricket in South Africa. And you were talking about your duties with Cricket South Africa, you know, during the rest of the year and what's going to be happening. We know our national academy that's run annually, it's such a big part of what has to happen with cricket. And you're going to be involved, of course. It's the CSA Centre of Excellence. I love that. I love the title. It's like, yes, thank you. And this Women's Academy program is so very, very important. And of course, you're going to be part of that. You're going to be part of heading up the women's team. And how are you feeling about that? What can we expect? You know, people don't really realize the Center of Excellence exists at, you know, outside of cricket. You know, just normal people go, wow, there's actually this academy. It's held annually. People go there and they just get this coaching. They get all these things given to them. Tell us a bit about what you're going to be doing there this year with the players that have been chosen. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen for the players that's going to come through there this year.
Yeah, look, it's really exciting for me as well. When I got appointed at Cricket South Africa, I actually got the job in 2020. So I didn't work for 18 months because of COVID. So it's the first time after or post COVID that we host in the National Academy. It's the first time I'll be the head coach of the program. I've been part of two that I was being the assistant for, and I think it's going to be really, really exciting. And it's like you said, I love that word, Center of Excellence. And if I could put the National Academy into one word, it would probably be excellence. You know, it's got to be world class. I'm really excited about the program because this program has produced so many Protea players. And it's something that's, you know, not everyone will have an opportunity to, but we do have 16 girls that's joining us. We've got a couple of exiting under 19 players. We've got ex-Protea players or players that's played Proteas that's back down. And we've got the hunger of provincial players that, you know, wants to make that break. So yeah, you can expect a lot from a technical point of view. Strength and conditioning is really important. Analysis is an element that I'm adding to the girls' games this time, which is brilliant. A lot of mental work, and just about how to be a professional once you leave that space. So entirely what National Academy should do is prepare you for international cricket. And the more difficult part is when you leave my space. Do you have the discipline and ability to continue with the work ethic that we've done and the professionalism when you go walk out into your daily life? But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really good. There's going to be lots of sweat, even though it's winter in
Yes.
Pretoria. There might be a few tears, and that's okay. I like emotion. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of honest conversations. At the end of the day, I want what's best for you. You want what's best for you. So let's not put any obstacles in front of that.
It sounds amazing. And, you know, a shout out to all the girls that have been selected to be part of this incredible center of excellence. And I'm sure, Denisha, with your help, there's going to be really great conversations. Looking forward to those tears and looking forward to growing through them, because we know that emotion does push us to growth as well. And Denisha, I want to say thank you so much for spending this time with me today. You are just an incredible blessing on so many levels. I hope that you know that. And I'm just really grateful for you today and all the work that you are doing. And I look forward to seeing you on the field, wherever it may be. Look forward to seeing you doing your thing, and all the best for all the wonderful things that you're going to be getting up to the rest of the year, wherever you may be. So thank you so much for this time.
And thank you, Lauren, for whatever you do behind the scenes for this podcast and everything else in between. It definitely doesn't go unnoticed to individuals like myself. And yeah, take care of yourself. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.